So our message today, once again, is about prayer. And just like Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he wrote to the Thessalonians specifically about prayer, because these were some of the questions that they were asking. If the kids would like to come up and get a village bag, feel free to do that as we jump into our message. After the message, we'll partake in Family Village. And if you'd like to gather in small groups and talk about the questions that are listed in your bulletin, they are: in what ways do you communicate with others without using words? In what ways are easier than others? And are there any of these communication forms that could help us in our communication with God? So if you'd like to participate afterwards, get together in small groups. It's an informal time. If you want to take that time to stretch or to visit or to use the bathroom or refresh your coffee, you may also do that. It's 5 minutes to deepen our faith together as a body of Christ. In the United Methodist Church, we have a phrase that we use often, because the holy is so hard to understand and it's so hard to articulate. We can do our best, but at the end of the day, it is almost impossible to scientifically describe step by step what prayer is, or what communion is, or what God is. We do our best, and that phrase is holy mystery. Prayer is a holy mystery. We do our best to understand it, and we know that through God's grace, we are able to communicate with God, and that God is always present, always listening. My daughter Hannah, who is now 13, was fiercely independent, fiercely at the age of 1 day old. Always. She was bound and determined to do things her own way, and she didn't want any help. Even before she could articulate, she did not want any help. Now, sometimes she would figure it out, but other times she would get so frustrated with herself and angry at me when she couldn't do it. And I'd say, let me, and she'd say, no, no, no. I'd say, Hannah, why are you getting upset with me? I'll help you if you let me. And often her frustration with me stemmed from the fact that my way of helping her was not what she had in mind. Again, she wanted to do it her way. What she didn't understand is that my perspective, being an official grown-up, and my experience in the world make me far more insightful to the consequences. Now, when she was a baby, I was the dumbest mom in the world. And then for a while, I got really smart and I was the best mom in the world. And now that she's 13, it's kind of going back the other way. So she would constantly try to get me to back off and let her do it her way. And I would let her sometimes, because this is how she would learn. And this still happens, and I imagine, just like every parent-child relationship, it always will. In an ideal setting, in my parent utopia, Hannah would come to me with every dream, every thought, every challenge that she were facing. And she'd say, Mom, I need you. I need your help. Or even just, Mom, I want to share this with you. I have to confess that as a loving parent, I don't always give her what she desires. Even though she may think that I, at times, am the meanest mom in the world, I can perceive far beyond what she can perceive, and I see ahead of what she wants. I see if that is going to cause trouble. And then when I say no, it's hard for her to understand why I've said no. I make choices for her that are hopefully in her best interest, and she may understand that when she's older. Centuries earlier, another mother had a similar experience. She heard that her son had decided that he wanted to visit Rome, and she prayed so hard that he would not go. She feared that the vices of the city would overwhelm him. Even so, he went. And while in Rome, he was converted to Christianity. In his Confessions, Augustine writes that his mother's prayer was answered, not in its outward form. Remember, she prayed that he would not go. So it was not answered in its outward form, but in its inward heart. What she had actually prayed for was that he might be saved from the ways of sin. And he was. In both cases, the prayers of these mothers were not granted, but they were answered. As I was growing up, my grandmother, Elda, a name that you don't hear very often anymore, was a very devout Christian. She was that church lady, you know, the one whose pie plates were always in the kitchen because she was always bringing pies and such. And she prayed for me every single day. Every single day of my life, she prayed for me. And I wonder if there was a time that she thought that God was maybe not answering her prayers, especially in my teen years. Maybe she prayed harder during that time. When my grandma left this earth in my early 20s, my life was pretty fast and superficial. But I also know that I would not be the person I am today if it were not for my experiences and what I've learned along the way through my experiences and through mistakes I've made and through those hard life lessons. I believe that my grandma's prayers were answered. Maybe not specifically, but certainly in a way that has glorified God and honored her passion for the church. Now, though Grandma never saw the outcome of her prayers, she never saw me go into pastoral ministry, does not mean that God was not at work. Why do we pray? If God knows our innermost being, why do we pray? We pray because it's powerful. We pray because it breaks chains and it heals and it shakes the foundations of the earth and it helps develop our relationship with God, with the Almighty, our personal relationship. And yes, we do have direct communication with the one true and powerful entity and creator of the universe. Now, sometimes you'll hear someone say, "I'll pray for you," or "you are in my thoughts and prayers." What does that mean? Or when we say it to someone else, "I'll pray for you, you're in my prayers." What does that mean? It calls us to kind of look at how we pray. How should we pray for someone when we say, "you're in my prayers"? How should we pray for someone? We should pray fervently. We should pray deeply. And we should pray with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I should pray, you should pray, from the pit of your being with a tangible outpouring that flows forth right to God's throne. When we talk with someone and we have a conversation with someone, we just naturally, as human beings, and as we grow older, we learn to filter what we say because we perceive a possible reaction. So we try to measure what we say. when we have a discussion with God, this filter is gone. Because again, God sees our innermost being. And if the filter isn't gone, it needs to be. God knows our thoughts, our desires, our needs more intimately than we do. And like the women who prayed for something specific, for their son not to go to Rome, for their granddaughter to leave the wild ways and go back to church, those prayers were not answered in the form that those ladies prayed, but they were answered in a deeper way. And you know the craziest thing is that even though God knows our innermost thoughts, he loves us. He still loves us, despite ourselves, so much that he gave his life for us. And that is a God who is all-powerful, who is all-loving, far beyond what we can understand. That is not a God who would just toy with your emotions or play cruel jokes. And when we pray, why do we feel the need to use impressive words? Have you ever been asked to pray out loud and it's nerve-wracking because you have to come up with the words and you want to sound eloquent? Sometimes there just aren't words. Sometimes when we pray, there just aren't words for what we want to say to God. The good thing is that you really don't need them. They're nice, but they're not necessary. Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. So the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too great for words. Can you imagine? We have an intercessor. Through prayer, I know some of you have gone through significant challenges, have gone through deep wounds, and yet here you are today, understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. There's a quote. I like picking quotes off of Facebook because some of them are really good. This is one I saw last week. Don't pray for your life to be easy, but pray for yourself to be strong. We pray because God calls us into a relationship with him. To be in relationship. And just like I have desired for Hannah to come to me and share herself and share her thoughts and her desires and her needs and to need me, God wants that relationship with us. Relationships require communication. It doesn't necessarily have to be spoken, but communication. And if you think about the root of communication, it's commune, commune, communion, communing together, being together, facing each other, and sharing your spirits. Prayer is communication between a holy God and a beloved you and me. Throughout God's word, we're taught the significance of the role of prayer. We bring our needs and our pain and our weakness and our joys to the one who loves us beyond what we can fathom. We know from experience that the more time we spend with someone, the more we become comfortable with them, right? We spend more time together, we start to break down our walls a little bit and we become more comfortable. And the more we become comfortable with someone and learn their nuances and become closer to them, we begin to share a relationship. And this is also true with God. The more time we spend together, the deeper that relationship goes. Yeah, God is always with us, yes. But for us to then go face to face with God and accept that love and communicate with the Holy, that deepens that relationship. It's a two-way conversation, prayer is. And we talked about this a little bit last week. It's a two-way conversation. Okay? I know sometimes it can feel like we're talking to ourselves, but it is a two-way conversation. And when we do this spiritual practice on a regular basis, we grow in it, and we find it easier to find God and hear his voice and discern his will in our lives. And we experience the gifts that God intends for us: wisdom, strength, perseverance, forgiveness, and a peace that passes all understanding. My experience with prayer has been this, that if I am to connect with God and truly feel God's presence, I need to do a hard thing. I need to open myself fully, even if I'm afraid. I have to lay aside my pride, and I have to risk vulnerability. If I want God to bless my life, then I must be willing to give myself over fully to him. That's scary too. I must be willing to step beyond what's comfortable or selfish in my life. We know that when God is requiring something from us, it's like when he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord." "Then forgive someone you've held a grudge against." It's that nagging voice that's calling you out of your comfort zone to do the right thing. And again, sometimes for me, that goes against my grain. But it's God speaking in us. And we also must be willing, likewise, to pray with that spirit of vulnerability. Even Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray. So Jesus taught them a recited prayer. Pray like this. How neat, how cool to have that prayer that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Prayer, which we'll be saying together later, to give us an idea of the communication that we should be having with God. Now, even Jesus' disciples did not know how to pray. And they were with Jesus, witnessing him praying. So yes, it is a holy mystery. It is. Jesus taught us to pray like this. Honor your Creator. Open your heart to receive God's blessings, both within you and on earth. Try to rid yourself of selfish desires and open yourself to the miracles that God can work through you, both here in this world and the next. Ask him to give you what you need for the moment and desire his forgiveness, but not more than the forgiveness you're willing to give others. Ask for strength. Ask for strength to stand against evil forces and temptations. A version of the Lord's Prayer. And don't feel like you're alone if you don't quite know how to pray or if it doesn't come naturally. What is it we're praying for? Do we get specific, assuming to know better than God? Do we give God our input, our thoughts? Years ago, a woman earnestly prayed that her son might be called to preach. And he grew up, and he accepted Christ into his life, and he began he began preparing for his call to ministry, to which he seemed destined. Before his training was complete, however, he concluded that he was not called to this life, and he was not called to this line of work. He left school, and he began working for a bank. He continued in that field, and he became a great financier. He died rich and successful. Did the mother receive her prayer? When her son's will was read, the mother learned that he had left his vast fortune to a theological seminary in Kentucky. And by this one act, many, many young men and women have been prepared to teach and preach the gospel. Would we expect God's blessings to overflow into our waiting hands if we are unwilling to offer ourselves fully to Him? Would we be able to receive God's full blessings if we shut doors to some things and say, God, please bless me if it goes this way, but not if it goes that way? God, bless me if it's not going to be hard. Those are tricky things in prayer. We exercise ourselves. Take time today to pray. Spend some time looking within yourself, and then offer it to God, and just see what God does in your life. Amen.